Welcome to Tech Talks with Kinsoft. We're your guide for, well, cutting through the tech noise and getting to the insights that really matter.
That's right, making sense of the complex stuff.
And today, we're looking at something that, frankly, impacts all of us, cybersecurity, especially right here in Australia. There's been a real uptick in incidents lately.
A worrying trend, definitely.
Yeah, and one particular case involving a political party really highlights some unique risks. So today, we'll unpack what went down, why it's, well, significant for you, and what it tells us about staying safe online. Okay, let's dive into that specific incident first. The ransomware attack on Clive Palmer's Trumpet of Patriots and the United Australia Party, the UAP.
Yeah.
This wasn't just, you know, another corporate hack.
No, definitely not. The attack itself happened back on June 23rd, 2025, but it wasn't actually announced until mid-July, July 17th.
Okay, quite a delay there.
Yes. And what happened was attackers got into their servers and, crucially, copied a lot of data. The potential scope here is, well, it's pretty vast.
What kind of data are we talking about?
It's a wide range, and much of it deeply personal. Think banking records, emails, phone numbers, ID documents, employment history. Basically, all emails and documents they held on that server. Everything.
Wow.
And here's a really concerning part. The parties themselves admitted they didn't comprehensively know what information was actually on the server.
They didn't know what data they had.
Apparently not comprehensively. And because of that, they said it was impracticable to notify individuals directly.
Impracticable.
Yeah.
Instead of telling people their data might be out there.
Exactly. They just posted a notice on their website. Now, they did take steps. They secured systems, restored from backups, reported it to the OAIC, that's the Information Commissioner, and the ASD, the Signals Directorate.
Right, the standard incident response steps.
Mostly, yes. And they gave the usual advice, monitor bank accounts, change passwords, use MFA, watch out for scams. But that lack of direct notification,
yeah,
that really stood out, especially given whose data it was.
Yeah, that notification piece, or lack of it, really hits differently with a political party, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It feels bigger than just a company losing customer details.
Absolutely. It's not just about financial risk, though that's there. It's about, well, political affiliations, personal beliefs, maybe even private messages about democratic activities. That kind of information getting out, it's potentially weaponizable.
Weaponizable?
Yeah.
That's a chilling thought. It strikes at the heart of privacy and, you know, even democratic processes.
Precisely. And this whole situation throws a spotlight on a really significant loophole in Australian law,
which is
the Australian Privacy Act. It has this specific exemption just for political parties.
An exemption.
Meaning, unlike almost every other organization handling your data, political parties aren't legally required to report data breaches under the notifiable data breaches scheme. They also don't have to follow many of the basic rules about handling personal information.
So the UAP telling anyone about this breach was entirely voluntary.
Entirely voluntary. They had no legal obligation under the Privacy Act to do so.
That seems odd. Hasn't this been raised before?
Oh, yes. For years, the Attorney General's Department did a big review of the Privacy Act, reported back in 2022. They explicitly called this exemption a significant risk.
A significant risk. So the government knew.
They were certainly told. The report noted that almost all submissions they got argued the exemption couldn't be justified. They said there was basically no clear reason why parties should not be accountable like everyone else.
So if the parties holding data about our political views, our voting intentions, are exempt from rules everyone else follows, what does that mean for us, for the average person?
It means they have privileged access, like, to the electoral roll, and they can build these huge databases on voters, demographics, beliefs, you name it.
Reset Australia warned this stuff is very valuable and potentially dangerous.
Dangerous how? Like, for election interference.
That's exactly the fear. Malicious actors could exploit this weak spot to mess with democratic processes. Imagine targeted disinformation campaigns based on stolen political profiles.
Even the Privacy Commissioner, Carly Kind, she publicly questioned if the exemption is still appropriate. She said it's out of step with community expectations and the risks we face now, you know, in the digital age.
It sounds like there's a strong consensus this needs fixing. What has the government actually done?
Well, the current government, when they responded to that big privacy review, they mostly just noted the recommendations about the political party exemption.
Just noted.
Yep. And the first set of privacy law changes they brought in didn't touch the exemption.
So despite the warnings, the loophole remains.
It does. And that brings us back to the UAP's response, the lack of care critique, saying it was impracticable to notify people. I mean, that's just basic cybersecurity practice 101, especially with sensitive data. It really highlights the gap.
Okay, so the UAP incident is a stark example. But was July just a bad month for them? Or was it indicative of wider issues across Australia? What else was going on?
Oh, July was definitely busy. It wasn't just politics. Look at Qantas, a huge incident affecting, what, 6 million frequent flyer members?
6 million? How did that happen?
Interestingly, it wasn't a direct hack on Qantas systems. It was phishing over the phone at a third-party call center they use in the Philippines.
Ah, the supply chain risks.
Exactly. Social engineering. They got names, emails, phone numbers, birth dates, frequent flyer numbers. Groups like Scattered Spider are known for this kind of sophisticated social engineering against call centers. They've hit big names globally.
Right. So third parties are a major vulnerability. What else?
We saw Metricon Homes, the big builder, get hit by ransomware. The Coin Group claimed responsibility.
Ransomware again. What did they lose?
About 128 gigs of data, financial records, employee details, even sensitive architectural plans. That's intellectual property theft right there, plus massive disruption.
Ouch.
And then there was a Northern Territory government agency. They got caught by a business email compromise scam, a BEC attack.
The fake invoice scams.
Pretty much. Someone was tricked into transferring over $3.5 million to a fraudulent account.
$3.5 million. Did they get it back?
Most of it, thankfully. But it shows how effective and costly these BEC scams can be. Still a massive breach of process.
So politics, airlines, construction, government. It's hitting everywhere.
Absolutely. And that's not all for July. Louis Vuitton had Australian customer data exposed. Ingram Micro faced ransomware. There was an accidental breach at the Migration Agents Authority. Even an Adelaide Women's Health Clinic had sensitive patient data stolen. It was relentless.
It shows the sheer scale and variety.
Yeah.
Any stats on ransomware specifically seems to keep cropping up?
Yeah, the ASD, the Signals Directorate, they responded to 121 ransomware incidents in the last financial year, 23-24. That was 11% of all the incidents they handled.
11%.
And the OAIC, the privacy watchdog, reported that ransomware was involved in 26%, so over a quarter of all cyber incidents that actually resulted in a notifiable data breach during that same period. It's a huge part of the problem.
And these threats, they aren't just local, are they? What was happening internationally in July that reflects this bigger picture?
Right. It's definitely a global issue. We saw, for example, some very sophisticated state-sponsored activity. Groups linked to China, called Linen Typhoon and Violet Typhoon, were exploiting brand new flaws 0 days in Microsoft SharePoint.
0 days. So flaws nobody knew about.
Exactly. They hit over 50 organizations worldwide, including governments. Shows that high-level espionage and disruption campaigns are constantly ongoing.
That's the high-tech end. Anything simpler.
Oh, absolutely. You won't believe this one. McDonald's AI hiring site got breached. Exposed 64 million records.
64 million? How? No. Sophisticated AI attack.
Nope. The admin password was 123456.
You're kidding.
Wish I was. Just goes to show you can have all the fancy tech in the world, but if you miss the absolute basics, like a strong password, well, you're wide open. It's almost comical if it weren't so serious.
Basic cyber hygiene. It always comes back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so connecting all this local incidents, global trends, simple mistakes, state actors, how are governments and regulators trying to respond? What's changing on the policy front?
Well, we're seeing different approaches globally. The UK, for instance, is proposing a ban on ransomware payments, at least for the public sector and critical infrastructure.
A complete ban. Oh. Trying to cut off the money supply.
That's the idea. Australia's gone a different way, though. We have mandatory reporting of ransomware payments within 72 hours, but no actual ban.
Why not ban them here?
The main argument is about operational risk. The concern is that banning payments might stop a hospital or, you know, a key utility from getting back online quickly, potentially causing even more harm. It's a tricky balance.
I see. So reporting, but no ban. What about holding companies accountable before they pay or even before they get hit?
That's definitely heating up. ASIC, the corporate regulator here, is getting much more active. They've recently filed charges against Fortnum Private Wealth, alleging they failed to manage cybersecurity risks properly.
Charges. That sounds serious.
It is. And it's not the first time. It's actually ASIC's third cyber-related court action after cases against RI Advice and FIRG Group. The message is clear. Regulators expect companies to take cybersecurity seriously, and there are consequences if they don't show due diligence. It's about accountability.
Okay, so regulators are stepping up, the threats are constant. This really brings it home for everyone listening. Given everything we've discussed, what are the key lessons? What practical things can people and businesses actually do?
Right, let's get practical. Based on these incidents, especially Qantas, number one has to be review your third-party cyber risk. Seriously, scrutinize your suppliers, partners, anyone who touches your data or systems, especially call centers.
Don't just trust, verify.
Absolutely. Train their staff too, if possible, on social engineering. Demand strong identity checks. Your security is only as strong as your weakest link, and often that link is external.
Okay. Third-party risk. What else?
Second, threat hunting and patching. Don't just wait for alarms. Actively look for signs of trouble in your systems and patch, especially known exploited vulnerabilities like those SharePoint ones. Patching quickly is critical. Don't leave the door open.
Be proactive, not just reactive. And the third.
Third, really double down on combating business email compromise, BEC. That NT government scam is a perfect, painful reminder. Training is key. Help your staff spot those fake urgent emails. But critically, turn on multi-factor authentication MFA. That extra code, that app approval, make it mandatory, especially for financial transactions or sensitive access.
MFA everywhere.
Everywhere possible. And one more thing for BEC. Check your domain name renewals. Make sure they're set to auto-renew. Attackers sometimes hijack expired domains to send convincing fake emails. It's a simple thing, but it closes another door.
Right. Review third parties, hunt threats and patch fast, and fight BEC with training, MFA, and domain checks. Seems like solid advice.
They're foundational steps, really. Covering the basics goes a long, long way.
It really makes you think, though. In this era where everything's connected, even our political views seem up for grabs, how much of our data are we just handing over without a second thought? And who should really be responsible for protecting it? What level of care do we expect?
That's the fundamental question we all need to grapple with, isn't it? What does true digital stewardship look like in the 21st century?
Definitely something to mull over. Well, that's all the time we have for this discussion on Tech Talks with Kinsoft. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Remember, staying informed and proactive is genuinely your best defense in cybersecurity. It's vital for everyone.
Absolutely. And if these issues have you thinking about your own security or IT setup, feel free to reach out. You can visit us at www.kinsoft.com.au to discuss your needs.